Okay, this is the Man Parshas Yisrei. But the plan is to do Mishpatim on Thursday, and then a Mitzvah on Friday will be up to date to do Truma. That's the plan. Hashem has to help. He usually is pretty good about B'chalal. And when he doesn't help, it's because he's helping us with something else. So let's go. We're learning a Maimed. Maimed of Yisrei. What's interesting about this Maimed is several things. First of all, it's based on a Maimed of the Rebbe Rashab, which was written and said 100 years before the Rebbe said it. This Maimed is 30 years old. Toshin Dal Mem, 1984, now it's 2014. 30 years ago, the Rebbe said a Maimed, based on a Maimed, the Rebbe Rashab, which was then exactly 100 years old. Toshin Dal Mem. Okay? The Rebbe is studying and analyzing the Maimed. One of the more interesting little details about this Maimed is that the Rebbe says that the Rebbe Rashab doesn't finish it. So he asks the questions and doesn't give the answers. So the Rebbe says, we have to surmise. We have to figure out from what he says what he doesn't say. And the way we're going to do it, the Rebbe says, is by studying other Maimorim from the same Rebbe Rashab on the same Dibur HaMaskil, as well as other Maimorim from other Rabbeim with the same Dibur HaMaskil, to ascertain from what's written, what's unwritten, to so to speak, figure out what the answers to the questions would have been had the Maimed been complete. Okay, it's a short Maimed, as you can see, it's a very short Maimed, relatively speaking. But it's a bit different. It's a bit different. In other words, there are so many Maimorim that follow this basic scheme, but in this Maimed there's a different point. And the truth of the matter is, this is a B'chalala rule in Chassidus. When you have many Maimorim in the same Pasuk that seem to be asking the same questions, very frequently they diverge, they go in different directions. So we begin. The entire nation saw the sounds and the flares, Vesahar Ashen, and the smoking mountain. Vayara Am, the people saw, Vayanu, and they were moved. Vayam the Merachak, and they stood at a distance. In other words, they were afraid and they distanced themselves. Yadu, Adiyag, Bazebedu, Shirabi Sein, and Isayenu, we all know the questions in the Maimori Chassidus. Vagam, Badibir Amaskal, Zashin, Emuf, Neime, Ashon, Abishnas, Tafresh, Mem, Dalit, including the Maimori said in the year 1884, which is 130 years ago today. The question is, Mahu inyan akeles halolu, what's the point of these voices? Valekol advarim shenustavu matan teiro, all the ideas that happened at matan teiro, heim dvarim shutum, as simple things. K'mer leitirtzach leitanev egeime, don't murder and don't bear false witness. Shem dvarim shutum, they're so simple. Shagam and then yitzavu aleim, if God might have not instructed us to keep them. Ha yemeharo elaseis, and we would figure them out on our own. As the Gemara says, if the Teda were not given, we'd learn Sneas from a cat and so forth. Now, Rabbi Yisai, we once spent months learning a Maimir from 3 years after Mem Galut, Mem Zayin, I believe it was, Shruas, where the Rebbe asked about the voices. I don't know if you remember, we had the Riches, the Kishyurim, and those Maimorim. And the Nakuda that we learned then was a very, very different point that the Rebbe makes here. In Mem Zayin, in the Maimed, the Hemshech of Achol Amrayim, what the Rebbe explained was that the sounds of Matan Teda were part of a complete experience. What happened at Matan Teda? Hashem said, Eich Hashem Alakach. What's Hashem? Hashem is everything. So everything said, Eich Hashem Alakach. And each thing said, "Anecha Hashem Elokecha," it's in way, its own way. The visual universe said, "Anecha Hashem Elokecha," in a visual way. The audible universe said, "Anecha Hashem Elokecha," in an audio way. And the sensual universe said, "Anecha Hashem Elokecha," in a sensual way. That means touch and smell. "Anecha Hashem Elokecha" came from every possible direction, from every possible point, in every imaginable way. If there would not have been music, there would be something incomplete about it. The Chiddush, if you remember that Maimer, as an addition to the music, was also a Shofar. And the Shofar threw us off. I'm not going back there. But when that Maimer said, why was there sound? That was women, why was there sound? There was everything. Anything that could possibly say, Anechi, said Anechi. But this Maimer is different. This Maimer is, so to speak, a black and white version of Matan Teda. The black and white version of Matan Teda is plain. Yidden stood at the mountain and God spoke to them. Now, it's not a contradiction. That very sophisticated version of Matan Teda and this very simple version of Matan Teda are not contradictory, because Although Matan Torah was so complete and so comprehensive, Matan Torah was also specifically for the Jewish people. And in as much as Matan Torah was specifically for the Jewish people, you have a different question. In other words, there's two ideas about Matan Torah. Now, there's probably a lot more than two, but there's two on our plate at the moment. The first idea of Avnei Hashem Elokecha is that the entire universe revealed godliness. The immediate idea of Matan Torah is God chose a nation, took them out of Egypt, and gave them a Torah. These two versions of Aseres HaDibris convert, happened at the same time. On the one hand, everything said to everybody, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, and at the same time, there was a specific idea of Anechi Hashem Elokecha as related particularly to Klal Yisrael. This Maimed is focusing on the latter. In as much as Yidden were concerned, not in as much as the universe was concerned, in as much as all of creation, but as much as the Jewish people were concerned, can you please tell me who needed the drama? Now, the drama. Now, you could answer the drama was needed because everything in creation had to do its thing in saying Anechi, including the dramatic. But since we're understanding that Aseres HaDibris is in addition to happening to everything and everybody, is specific for Klal Yisrael, our Maimer says, as it relates to the Jewish people, who needs the drama? You've got to be able to answer both questions. Why you need the drama in as much as the greater universe is concerned, and why you need the drama particularly and specifically in as much as the Jewish people are concerned. And that's the focus of this maimed. And the question is pashut. When God tells you simple things, there's no reason to make a fuss. And he's saying the simplest things. What's he saying? Don't kill, don't murder. Don't bear with. This requires a fuss. When you tell somebody a huge chiddush like shatnez and kilayim, you could need a fuss. But to tell people things which are so simple they could learn them from animals, and to be sure, you're telling them such simple things, they already knew them. They knew them from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Neach, they knew them from Mora. There was nothing new. One of the most amazing things about Aseres HaDibris was there was not a single original idea. And therefore you make such a big fuss? That's the question of this maimed. Now, v'hine b'maimed hanal shekvei gulush admur m'shab nishmasa yedin mamshech. The Rebbe Rashab proposes an answer. And the proposed answer is, Imnema, perhaps the reason for the drama was mitzah, the mashen itztavu alzem, neshagodl mitzvah v'yeisa, mishen mitzvah v'yeisa. The mitzvahs were old. Nothing was original, but until then they were volunteering to do the mitzvahs. Now they were being commanded to do the mitzvahs, and we all know what the Gemara says, that a mitzvah v'yeisa is greater than a mitzvah v'yeisa, mikomo kamadayin anymore. Even if we're going to say that Matan Torah was repeating mitzvahs Yidden had from before, but now they're being repeated to them and being mandated, they're mechuyev to keep them. Still, mahu inyan akeles v'harash agadol v'aneda shoya be'es Matan Torah, the question still remains, even if we understand why God has to repeat him, why the drama? Befrat shem dvarim shutim, they were very simple things. So okay, we can accept Hashem needs to repeat them a second time because now we're becoming mitzvah v'esa, but please, speak softly. I was at a Shabbaton 2 weeks ago, Shabbos, and at Rebbe, we farang all day long. At the end of the Shabbaton, I must have gotten quite animated. So an elderly Jew says to me, I don't know you, but you're screaming. Stop screaming. And the end of the conversation was, he says, I'm giving you constructive criticism. Take it. So after arguing, I took it. What are you screaming? Yeah, the Eibishter is saying simple things. Fine, he has to say them because of Tzilah Ve'esa. What is screaming? What's the tone? That's the second question. The aid medayeg b'maimed sham. There's a third question which the Rebbe asks. The mashom and the zal b'yalkut. It says in Medrash. Shabbos shot when God Almighty said Anechi, and it's all written in first in singular. Anechi Hashem Elokech, I am God, your God. You singular shouldn't have a lekim achedim. Kabad es avi cho, your father, v'simecha, and your mother, as opposed to avi chem and im chem, your collective mothers, collective fathers. So some places it's brought Rashi brings in Chumash that a Jew could say, excuse me, you weren't talking to me, you're talking to Mesh. V'haraya, he said in lashon yachid, but the Medrash is punfaket. The Medrash says that kol achad ve'achad miyisrael haya emir, every Jew said imi adib medaber. Hashem has talked to me personally, and that's the meaning of the lashon yachid. So the Rebbe says, what is the significance of Hashem talking to every individual? So it's three questions. Number one, why do you need the Tumah? Number two, even if you can justify why you have to say them again, but since the tumul is about such simple things, the tumul seems to be unnecessary. And number three, what is the meaning of this idea that every Jew felt as if Hashem is talking to him personally? These are the three questions. Now the Rebbe's answers to these questions begin on the next page, on page Ayin Ches, where you have the Gimel. Between now and then, the Rebbe gives us a hesbet of Matan Torah. And again, the ideas we're about to learn are very, very classic, they're very typical, they're very known, but there is a nuance. This mime is a different kvetch abyssal. So we read Vihine. I'm skipping the paragraph in the middle, because the paragraph in the middle said what I told you in introduction. See how the arrow has a hook? We're going to the bottom of the hook. The answer to the question is, the event of Matan Torah was not so much about what was said at all, it was about what the significance of the saying was it brings into this world. In other words, you scratch your head and say, why is Hashem telling you the simple thing? You scratch your head again and say, why is Hashem telling simple things that he's already told you again? And when you say mitzvah v'eis is better than mitzvah v'eis, it seems like a deficient answer. And the answer is, it wasn't at all about what he said. It was about the fact that he appeared. Hashem showed himself in this world. And the Rebbe says, the lashon kefi sheshayach inyan agila b'ha'atmos. The idea of atmos being revealed doesn't make any sense, because essence can't be revealed. That's the very nature of essence. It's unrevealable. So whatever you can do in explaining gilui ha'atmos, that's what happened in Matan Torah. Right? What's the simple idea? What is the necessity? What is the requirement for gilui ha'atzmus? Does anybody know? How can Hashem reveal himself to us? By showing us that we're him. That we should know him by knowing ourselves. Yedaitiv avis, the essence of the Eibishter is the goof of a person, perhaps the neshama of a person. And yedaitiv avis, if I know God by knowing myself, that's called the revelation of the essence. This happened when Eibishter gave the Torah. So it's not at all about the halachas. Whether they're new or they're old, whether they're big or they're little, whether they're mitzvah ve'esa or any mitzvah ve'esa, but about the expression of the Eibishter himself. This, of course, we all know from all the sikhs. When the Eibishter gave the Torah, he broke the divide and the decree. Until that point, there was a separation that said that the heaven cannot come down to earth, and the earth cannot ascend to heaven, and at that point it occurred. And because at the moment of Matan Torah, Hashem broke the divide that allows God to come to earth and earth raised up to heaven, this is why Hashem himself has to be revealed. You know why? Because only when you reveal the Eibishter himself is there a possibility to bring the highest ideas of godliness to the lowest world. Says the Rebbe V'lachain, and because at Matan Torah Hashem revealed his essence, this explains why Nemru b'matan Torah dvarim pshutim dafka. When the Eibishter gave the Torah, he said the simplest of things. Ki b'matan Torah, when the Eibishter gives the Torah, chadra amshachas ha'atzmos b'chol seder ishtalshos. When Hashem reveals himself with a capital H, it reaches everywhere, all of seder ishtalshos. And the Rebbe says 2 points. Number one, gam b'dvarim hachi pshutim. The essence of Hashem permeates even the simplest of things. But then there's a number two. And what's the number two? Not only does the essence of Hashem reveal himself here as well, but the essence of Hashem is more revealed here than in any other place, because this, the lowest world, is a seat for Atzmos. In the lowest world, as explained at length in Chassidus, especially in the Mamorim of the Mittler Rebbe, who says the higher something soars, the lower it falls. So we're talking about the Eibishter himself. It's found dafke in this world. So there's two reasons why Matan Torah speaks about simple things, because Matan Torah is about the gili of the Eibishter himself, and because Matan Torah is about the gili of the Eibishter himself. First of all, the gili of the Eibishter himself is also in the physical things. Moreover, the gili of the Eibishter himself is dafke in physical things. Page Ayin Chesna. This explains also. Lama, why? Inyan Matan Torah b'tfarim pshutim dafka. Matan Torah is dafka about simple things. Mishum shachas ha'etzem. Bringing on the Eibishter himself. First of all, is also in the lowest of things. And second of all, he b'dvarim tachteinim pshutim b'yeser is more in the lowest and simplest of things than in the higher, more complicated things. Ain b'kalos ha'elam is both in terms of worlds as a whole in the lowest world. Ve'ain b'elam hazeh atzmei in this world itself. But dvarim got pshut and bein, the lowest things in this world. And that's the answer to the question. Matan teira was gili ha'atzmos. Bitl ha'gzer gili ha'atzmos. Therefore, Hashem says simple things to teach us, or because Hashem himself is revealed even in physical things and on a deeper level still, because Hashem himself can be revealed dafk in physical things that cannot be revealed in spiritual things at all. And I'm going to give you a thought. I don't know if what I'm about to say is true, but it's a thought nevertheless. There is a sikh of the Rebbe, which I said 22 years ago yesterday, Pashat Mishpatim Nun Beis, which is one of the most important sikhs. It's 1 month before the stroke to the day. Okay, and that is interesting. It says in Chumash, "Ve'elah mishpatim ashtasim lefnei." Hashem tells me, "Should I know these are the mishpatim, the reasonable laws you should teach the Jewish people, gisik nevedivini, and so on." So, Rashi says that the word "ve'elah" comes with a vav, "ve'elah mishpatim," and explains that the letter vav connotes a continuation, just like the parsha before was from Sinai, this is also from Sinai. So the Rebbe says, what's the pshat? The pshat is that Sinai, Hashem revealed himself. When Hashem reveals himself, you know you're dealing with godliness. But when Hashem starts teaching us morals and ethics, the kinds of ideas that Lahavdil Goyim can figure out on their own, and they in fact do create all kinds of moral codes on their own. So you would think when it comes to basic morality and ethics and interpersonal human relationships, you don't need a Torah. It's simple. Go ahead and figure it out. Zokman din nei. Even when Taita teaches you the simplest of laws, the kinds of laws that Lahav Lagoy can figure out from an animal, they also have to be from Sinai. Everything a Jew does has to be from Sinai. And to use the classic form, Chassidus teaches us you have to do mishpatim like chukim. That mitzvahs that make sense, you have to do like illogical mitzvahs as opposed to logical mitzvahs, as opposed to another school of thought which says exactly the opposite. So the Rebbe says, interesante zach. A very compelling thing. He says, look at Torah, and you see some parts of Torah make a lot of sense. Some parts of Torah make less sense. Some parts of Torah make no sense at all. He says, Rabbi, I want you to understand two things. Number one, to be sure, nothing in Torah should ever be able to be understood. God's infinite wisdom, it's perfectly reasonable to assume that we shouldn't understand it at all. And therefore, the truth of the matter is that Torah starts out as an illogical book of God's light. Then Hashem brings it down from a level of higher than reason to a level of reason. When He brings it down from a level of higher than reason to the level of reason, He discriminates. There is Zrayim, there's Moyed, there's Noshim, there's Ezekim, there's Kotrim and Taras. There's parts of Torah that don't come down to this world, like Karbonas, for example. So they don't make sense to us. Then there's parts of Torah which come down all the way to the level of Seichel Anushi, even to the Seichel Nefesh Bahamas, like business law, for example, and the laws of neighbors and business partners and borrowers and lenders and so on and so forth. Those parts of Torah make sense. So you should know that the parts of Torah that have descended to a level of reason and logic are essentially higher than reason and logic. But for whatever reason, God chose that at this point, this part of Torah, people should be able to understand. Another part of Torah, why do we not understand Karbonus? Because Hashem doesn't want us to understand Karbonus. Why does it make sense not to murder? Because Hashem wants it to make sense. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense either. And then he adds Noch HaKvetch. And he connects it to chronology. He says, look at history. History is full of war. Full of competition. Full of competitiveness. Full of opportunism. Right? And look at the story of Europe. Right? Europe was a bunch of countries who were constantly trying to conquer one another. On rare occasion, a miracle occurred that A conquered B in such a way that they were gone. So there was one less conflict possible because one little nation. But talk about, all of Europe, including the most pacifist countries like Chvesvas, like Switzerland, and these places, why are they pacifist? Because they spent hundreds of years fighting and bludgeoning one another until they said, you know what? This is stupid. We're not fighting anymore. I get along with everybody. Leave me alone. I'll leave you. I'm not trying to expand my borders. You don't expand your borders. So he said, but ask you a dumb question. 500 years ago, when 700 years ago, when 1,000 years ago, when you had Ichvesfas, Norsemen, what were they called? The Vikings going and killing and conquering. They didn't know killing and conquering was wrong. when you had the Anglos and the Saxons killing each other all over England, and the Norse, again, they came from Normandy to conquer England. They didn't know it was wrong to kill, but they got smart. What happened? They knew. They were religious people, had a Bible. If I cared, they used their Bible to justify all of their killing and all of their conquests and their whole business. And how come Mitamol today, all Goyim realize there's something called the United Nations? And if one nation even thinks about raising up a sword against another nation, the United Nations calls a meeting. What's the difference? He says, you think Goyim got smart? He says, no. And now I'm going to give you my own language. This doesn't say in the Sicha. 1,000 years ago, Sinai wanted the Goy to kill a Goy, so he killed a Goy. Today, Sinai doesn't want the Goy to kill a Goy, so he doesn't kill. In other words, you think the Goy got smarter? No. The Abish that now wants the Goy to understand that killing is bad, so he understands. Yesterday the Goy also knew it was bad, but for some reason, at that point, we were not so close to Mashiach that the Goy would not be allowed to conquer his neighbor. So what today makes so much sense simply didn't make sense yesterday. So the final point in the Sikha is that the whole idea that you could understand something in Torah is not truly logical. Because if it was truly logical, it would have been understood yesterday and last week and last month and last decade and last century, last millennia. But because of Sinai decides that now it should make sense that murder is a bad thing, so it makes sense that murder is a bad thing. Just a century ago, just 100 years ago. But this is the 100th anniversary of World War I. And you should know that this is not only an incredible milestone in Lahavdil, in the Goyish calendar, it's one of the most important turning points in the history of the Jewish people. But Tirad Ha'aretz, they used to say, the world shook. Aderes, Tafresh Ayin Dalet, 1914. If the world shook, although there was a tremor, why was it a tremor? Turned the world upside down. The idea of chivalry and honor and conquest, it was all considered you were a hero if you killed an opponent and took his land. You were a chaverman. Today you're a murderer and a ganef. He says, what do you think? People got smarter. He says, they understood the same things now they understood then. But for then, now with Leitz Chabam Goy, the Goy understands it because we're holding closer to Mashiach. This is how the Rebbe explained in the Sikh. In other words, everything logical is really not logical. It's logical because of Sinai, because the Eibishter gives it logic. So the Rebbe says, to see God in the simplest ideas of logic is the greatest revelation of the Eibishter. In other words, it's exactly the opposite of what you think. You think the Torah doesn't have to tell you not to kill because you understand yourself not to kill. If you're not killing because it makes sense to you, tomorrow it'll make sense to kill. You ever saw the interview with Eichmann? They asked Eichmann, how do you go around killing people? So he answered very plainly, murder is human. People have been killing each other. People killing people is the whole history of the human race. Human beings kill each other. People kill it. This was he asked him, how could you be part of a society where people are killing people with impunity? He says, people have been killing forever. We're people. That was the logical explanation. That makes him bad that he started a war and conquered nations. Okay, that he wants to kill a certain race and he singles them out and he uses them as slaves. But war? What's wrong with war? It's the history of humanity. This is what he said. This was his explanation. He was an intelligent guy. And if you think about it objectively, you understand how it makes sense to him. Why? Because Leititzach is Misinai. So the Rebbe says you got to flip it backwards. When it comes to those things that are the most logical and they really don't make any sense without Sinai, because if there wouldn't be a Sinai, you could come along and say, excuse me, murder is part of being a human being. And you add the Eibishter to Leititzach, and you therefore don't kill. That's Giliatzmus. Forget. Where are you seeing the Eibishter? In those things that you think you don't need the Eibishter, because in those things that you don't need the Eibishter, without the Eibishter, they cannot exist. That's the Derher. There's something called Giliatzmus. Matan Torah reveals the Eibishter himself. Before Matan Torah, they had the mitzvahs, and they had the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Neach, and they really had all the Aseres Adibris. Because most Aseres Adibris are Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Neach. The one or two or three that aren't, were Shabbos and Kibud Aveim, they got them at Mora. But they were lacking Sinai. They were lacking what the Rebbe calls here in the Maimah, Gili Atzmus. And so long as you're lacking Sinai, so long as you're lacking Gili HaAtzmus, the Torah is not in the world. that's not necessarily a raya that you're going to keep it. Because seichel anushi, even when it understands these simple things, without Sinai, it doesn't necessarily keep it. So the Rebbe's point is, since Matan Torah, let's start from the beginning again. Matan Torah was not about what God said. It was that God said. Matan Torah was not about mitzvahs and Torah. This they had from before, this they would get later. Matan Torah was about Hashem's presence, Hashem revealing Himself, and specifically revealing His essence. So the Rebbe says, number one, if Hashem is revealing His essence, you should see essence even in the simplest things. And number two, forget, the essence of Hashem is more revealable in the simple things than is in the loftier thing. In other words, the idea that without God, Leititzach is an equivocal law is clearer in Leititzach than in keeping Shabbos or than in not wearing Shatnez. In other words, if Hashem is telling us a fancy mitzvah, you could say, yeah, of course, it makes sense. I need the Eibush to tell me a fancy mitzvah, it makes sense. I understand it myself. Once the Eibush teaches me the Chochmah Shebedov. But when the Eibush shows you that those things that make the most sense are not necessarily true without Sinai, here you're seeing very clearly that this is not the Chochmah of the Eibush, this is the Atmos of the Eibush. In other words, since it's so logical, it's so tachtein, it's so low, it's so not in need of God, and yet it's in need of God, then you're seeing God. You see, in other words, I'm using the Sikh of Nun Beis to explain the Maimer. This doesn't, I wrote it on the margin as well. The Maimer doesn't say it in these verses. What the Maimer says is, Matan Torah is Gilui HaAtzmus, and if it's Gilui HaAtzmus, there's two criteria. Number one, it has to be in everything. And number two, it's dafk in the lowest things. Even Leititzach is only true because the Eibishter said, not because it makes sense. And Faket, in Leititzach, you see clearly the idea that you need God to be the basis of Leititzach more clearly than in anything else. It's an Eidel Gedank, but I think this is Pshat in mind. I think this is the Derhev. So again, the question is, why does the Eibishter say such simple things? And the answer is because there's no such thing as simple. There's the appearance of simple. And everything, even the simplest, has credibility because of Sinai, because of Atmos. And the simpler the thing, the more you're seeing that it's Atmos. And not the sophistication and the logic behind it that is the Eibishter Himself. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I was thinking this week about that a lot of these, which are really Jewish concepts that came down, I guess, through Christianity and Western civilization, have now been taken, we're almost going to the other extreme. It still needs the logic of, that we need the boundaries of
the Sinai, of course.
Like, you know, the human end of life rights and animal rights and all this stuff. We're going like, whoa. And we still need the balance, even though those are coming from a good place, supposedly, we still need the balance. It gets very confusing, you know, you have all the end of life things and whatever.
Absolutely correct.
But these are Jewish concepts that are guided to the world, but they still need the correction of the Torah.
They need Sinai. Right? Yeah. Absolutely right. And faked, like it says in Sfarim, when you are kind to the cruel, you are cruel to the kind. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on in our world. Mm-hmm. The Torah gives an equilibrium. So this is right and this is wrong. Part of right and wrong is that there's things that hurt. There's no such thing as everything is only love. And when you take love to its extreme, it becomes pasha cruelty, and you see it b'muchesh mamish. You see it vividly and clearly. V'yashleima. And then I have to add something else. The zeo gamke mashinemba b'matan teira v'yidabar alakim is called b'aram eil leimen. Hashem said all of these things, leimen. Now you all know the question. What is the meaning of the word leimen? Leimen means to repeat. V'yidabar Hashem al-meish, Hashem z'meish, leimen repeat to the yidin. Right? When Hashem is speaking to the whole nation, what is Lamer going to mean? That they should repeat it to their children. But at Har Sinai, he wasn't only speaking to the whole nation, he was speaking to all of history, all the neshamas that would be in the future were there. So who is Lamer? Who should they repeat it to? It's one of the famous questions of Amari Hasidus on Matan Torah. The Yesh Lamer, Shapirish Lamer Khan, the meaning of Lamer is not that the Jew should speak, but that the world where the Jew plays out the Torah and mitzvah should speak. Shahagashmi v'atachtein atmei nase ha'oimer, says the Rebbe in Yiddish azogim. Leimer means that the physical things through which we keep the lowest of the physical mitzvahs should speak Sinai. Mishum she'oz ho'isam shachas ha'atmus. Hashem himself reveals himself. Moreover, Hashem reveals himself mitzad in yonei shel atachten, not only in the lowest person, but in the lowest thing in the world. So Leimer means that not only should Yidden repeat what the Eibishter is saying, but the physical earth and world in which is manifest, the Atmos should resonate, should echo, should give back the idea of the Eibishter himself. And then you have a footnote on the bottom, which the Rebbe added after he said the Maimon, that this is the meaning of every Jew said, Imi Anechi Medaber. Hashem has talked to me personally. The whole Aseres Dibur is written in single tense. Hashem was speaking to each individual person distinctly. What's the concept of Hashem speaking to every single individual person individually and distinctly? Because by every individual appreciating that the Eibishter is talking to him specifically, he's reaching that person as he's separate from the group, as he is an individual, which is an element of Tachten. In other words, the Torah is for me. I know who I am. I'm Shmuel. And that's a nice way to put it, right? So if the Eibishter is talking directly to me, the point is, Atmos is reaching me as well. So this is the word. What's unique about the Seder HaDibros? The Gilui HaAtzmus. Eibishter himself reveals himself. Reveals himself, quote, also in the lowest realm, and on a deeper level still, dafke in the lowest realm, and in the lowest things, and in the lowest person. The lowest person says, this book is written for me. I know killing is wrong, but I need God to tell it to me. And the Rebbe says, v'zehu v'chol ha'amreim v'geimit, v'yara om v'yinu v'yamdom hirachik. And now the Rebbe answers the question, who needs the drama? If Hashem is saying such simple things, who needs the drama? Now, of course, I told you before that there are more involved explanations for the need for the drama. But if you narrow Matan Teda down as a conversation between Hashem and the Jewish people, why do you need drama when telling a Jewish person a very simple thing? And the answer is, because look at the words inside, the drama bittled Yidden. It shook them out of their orbit. It shook them to their very core. This was a vessel. Since you're going to meet Eibishter himself, and you're going to meet Eibishter himself in such a way that the Sinai is going to make you realize that not killing and not stealing is also God. For this to occur, you're just to be shaken out of his place to accept this new idea. In order for a Yid to experience Atmos, which was given to us at Matan Teira, you can never speak of having a vessel for Atmos Mamish, Mikomo, and fourth line into the paragraph, there is something which is at least similar to the notion of it being a vessel. And what can be done to create a vessel for something you cannot create a vessel for? At least do not interfere. I can't make myself a vessel for the Eibishter, but I can at least open myself up to him, removing the obstacles. How? Give him a shake. So what was the drama? The drama was about bittul. The bittul that the drama created opened us up to experience Atmos Samahus. Let's go to the end of the paragraph. Okay, Valderos Olamayla Yesir, Amshachas Ha'atmos. You bring on the Eibishter himself. Shagam Lazer, although there's no such thing as a vessel for Atmos, nevertheless, here as well, there is at least a notion of Tzarech HaSodas HaLomez V'Estei V'Abum, remove hiddennesses and obstacles and confusions, entanglements. Diko Tzabrichu, if you want to meet the Eibishter himself, Le'Sharia Ella Basar Shlim, you have to have a perfect place, a peaceful place for him to rest. V'Zeh Hoya Ha'ingin, this is what the Jewish people saw, and they moved, and they stood far away, and I wrote on the margin, bittul. That bittul was the hachana to the Gilui HaAtzmus. For a Jew to admit to himself that I need to know Loi Signev from the Eibishter and not from my own mind requires a shake. How many times did the Rebbe discuss how the Nazis were the most philosophically advanced society in all of Europe, and yet they brought about such death? And the reason is because they were lacking Sinai. I actually saw a speech in which Hitler himself says, we're the only nation in Europe that has laws on the books about humanitarian treatment of animals. I saw it in a speech. Imagine that. The epitome, the essence of evil. Why? I mean, he was playing games. He was a liar first class. But there's no Sinai. And to have Sinai, when you already know Leisitzach, you need to be shaken. And that's what this was. And he brings some Maimir from the Rebbe Rashab in Ayin Hei, which is Nefesh HaChayim Beis, that any time you want to create something new, you have to stop You have to shake a person out of his orbit. Okay? Four lines from the bottom of the page. The trepidation, the shake. The sounds that happen in the matan Torah. Skip the parentheses. Hashem has to make us evacuate ourselves from our own space to bring the Yebishtin in. We all think we don't need the Yebishtin. I'm not going to tell you the name of the person. There was a certain chassid who did a certain service from Friedrich and Rebbe. And the Friedrich Rebbe was nostalgic. The Rebbe became Rebbe. The Rebbe wanted him to continue to do that particular shimush. So he went over to him and he told him what to do. So he told the Rebbe, I know already. So the Rebbe took a younger man and replaced him. And it was a very funny story. What do you want? And the answer is, you have to know Sinai. And if you think you know, then you forget. There's not going to be a Sinai. The Abish comes and says, late Titzach, and you tell him, I know already there's not going to be a late. Then there's no Sinai. You're missing that absence. It's a true story. The Rebbe never blew Shofar again. He missed it. All he said was, I know. And he takanu. He was an Elter Chassid. He learned in Lubavitch. He was Spitz Chabad. He was a Makor of Lamalchus. You couldn't hold it against him, Lacheda. But that was it. Because there needs to be Sinai. And Sinai means to evacuate and to recognize that there's a new Rebbe and there's a new Sinai. And if you can't accept that, then the old I know will not allow it to be a new me Sinai. And that's not acceptable. And then the Rebbe, of course, says the greatest evacuation possible is this Golos. And the Rebbe uses an expression here in this Maimed. If you look five lines into the Maimed Ayin Tes, E Efshen Shetiyah Mitzvah Shal Golos Gedele Yesim and a Golos Azeh. It's impossible for there to be a bigger galus than the one we're in. This Halashna Rav. Vos meinti yefshe, this is not the worst galus, it's the worst imaginable, the worst possible galus, which means it's the ultimate evacuating, so to speak, ultimate creating space, and it's a hachana to the ultimate Mi Sinai.